You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, How to Turn Your Independent Film into a Money-Making Business by Alex Ferrari. For a free copy of the audiobook, head over to www.filmbizbook.com.
The Director Series is made possible by the support of our subscribers on Special. Subscribe today at special.tv/The Director Series and gain access to exclusive full-length Director Series episodes and other bonus content, ad-free. Welcome to the Director Series podcast, a show dedicated to deconstructing the work of some of cinema's most celebrated and influential film directors. I'm your host, Cameron Bile.
Despite cultivating a reputation for themselves as darkly mischievous satirists, the Coens had always possessed an earnest love for the tradition of the Hollywood screwball comedy. This love led to their first for-hire writing assignment in the 90s, a revision of a script called Intolerable Cruelty, initially written by the screenwriting team of Robert Ramsey and Matthew Stone. The Coens drew inspiration from classic Howard Hawks comedies like 1938's Bringing Up Baby to spin their own take on what was otherwise a fairly generic courtroom caper, and delivering a draft that was good enough to subsequently attract A-list directors in the form of Ron Howard and Jonathan Demme. After the completion of their 2001 feature, The Man Who Wasn't There, the Coens had planned to film an adaptation of the James Dickey novel To the White Sea, but when that fell through, they dug up their old draft of Intolerable Cruelty and decided they might like to make it themselves. Produced by high-powered movie mogul Brian Grazer through Ron Howard's Imagine Pictures, the Coens' 10th feature film is an old-fashioned romantic romp cursed with a modern cynic's outlook. Too much, baby.
I would like to offer my congratulations. It's a beautiful gesture of Howard's.
Well, Howard is a beautiful person. Diamond in the rough.
And I have a feeling that someday soon you'll be taking that diamond and leaving the rough.
In a month or so, once I've established that I've tried to make the marriage work.
Echoing the Coen screwball sentiments, Intolerable Cruelty's performances draw heavily from the slapstick romantic comedies of yore. George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones' chemistry plays like a forgotten James Stewart, Katharine Hepburn film, albeit freed from the censorship restraints of the Hays Motion Picture Production Code.
You see, people get to Las Vegas, and all of a sudden the rules of the moral universe don't apply. God is dead, all things are possible.
I saw an ad in the paper.
No-fault divorce. Two-week divorce without a lawyer. Made me sick to my stomach. No-fault divorce. Good God. Talk about your oxymoron.
In his second Coen outing, Clooney gamely lampoons his suave, polished celebrity image as a divorce lawyer named Miles. His vanity is manifest in physical traits like an obsessive fixation on his teeth, a recurring joke that is one of the movie's more inspired conceits. It's clear that he's having a lot of fun here, and his enjoyment is infectious.
Look, Miles, I think it's only fair to warn you that after a decent interval, I intend to have Freddie seek an injunction. That would forbid you to approach within 500 feet of my house.
You mean my house?
Oh, I believe the residence will be part of the settlement.
As the shrewdly calculating Marilyn, Zeta-Jones proves a worthy adversary to Clooney's charms. The role requires someone with effortless grace, beauty, and sexuality, all of which Zeta-Jones possesses in spades. For what the film is and what it aspires to be, one couldn't ask for a better on-screen pairing than Clooney and her.
Well, what's so goddamn funny?
The supporting cast allows ample opportunity for the Coens to trot out their signature outsized characters.
Now, I myself went to Texas A&M. Mom and Aggie.
Business?
Tight end.
Billy Bob Thornton, who headlined the Coens' previous film, plays Howard Doyle, an actor posing as a Texas oil baron and one more sucker in a long line of them competing for Marilyn's fake affections.
You see this? Those are for you, darling.
His role is the polar opposite from his laconic, nearly mute barber in The Man Who Wasn't There, a casting technique that the Coens are fond of, and also evidence in the dichotomy of character between Steve Buscemi's roles in Fargo and The Big Lebowski.
Well, let's get right down to it then, shall we? We'll take a couple of vacuum hoses. We probably need a new filter round about now, maybe. Wait a minute, darling, do we actually have a swimming pool? Okay.
Jeffy Rush plays Donovan Donnelly, a ponytailed Australian television producer who's prone to wild shooting rampages.
Bitch! Bitch!
Rush embraces the full-tilt psychopathic aspects of his unhinged character to considerable comic effect, delivering one of the film's standout performances.
You are Donovan Donnelly?
I'm in a meeting.
Cedric the Entertainer plays Gus Petch, a private investigator specializing in philandering husbands, invoking his signature catchphrase in almost every other line.
I'm gonna nail your ass!
Yep, I nailed his ass. You gonna nail his ass.
I'm about to nail his ass right here.
We gonna nail your ass!
Look, I see ass, I nail it.
Richard Jenkins, who appeared alongside Thornton in The Man Who Wasn't There, shows an unexpected knack for comic timing in his performance as Freddie Bender, Maryland's impotent and perpetually aggrieved lawyer.
Mrs. Rexroth, do you know those lines?
Objection, Your Honor.
Grounds?
Poetry recitation.
Let me rephrase.
Still other Coen cameos clue us into intolerable cruelty's existence within their weakening self-contained universe, like Bruce Campbell's brief appearance as a soap opera star playing a surgeon on TV. Intolerable Cruelty conscripts regular Coen cinematographer Roger Deakins into service once more. Shooting on 35mm film, Deakins evokes the bright, sunny visuals of romantic comedy's past. The sun-dappled environs of Beverly Hills and Las Vegas are imprinted onto the 185:1 frame with a warm, red and orange color palette and a polished lighting approach. The film makes extensive use of handheld cinematography in the opening sequence, while opting for conventional locked-off compositions for the remaining scenes. Leslie McDonald subs in for regular production designer Dennis Gassner, sufficiently recreating the privileged lifestyles of the Los Angeles elite in a stuffy, old-money tenor. Carter Burwell returns to score the film, utilizing a brassy big band sound that further alludes to Hollywood's golden age comedies.
Darling, you're exposed.
Sitting duck.
His music is accompanied by a generic mix of folk and rock offered up by the likes of Simon and Garfunkel and Elvis Presley, whose song Suspicious Minds plays over the opening credits.
Why can't you see? What you doing to me?
Once again, the Coens perform the editing under their pseudonym Roderick James, continuing their incorporation of emerging technology by editing on a digital nonlinear system for the first time. Despite Intolerable Cruelty's origins as a work for hire, the film nevertheless is imbued with the Coens' distinct artistic imprint.
And to whom did you introduce that calculating woman?
I introduced her to that silly man.
Your Honor, objection!
Let the record show that the Baron has identified Rex Rexroth as the silly man!
The degree of Buster Keaton-style slapstick humor and exaggerated minor characters on display rivals the cartoonish tone of 1987's Raising Arizona. Their default paradigm of the alienated outsider is embodied in Miles, and as he falls deeper in love with Marilyn, he finds himself increasingly at odds with the cynical greed of his profession.
Why don't you come out to Malibu and see my new beach house tomorrow?
I didn't know Dimitri had a beach house.
Neither did I until my lawyer found it. Quite a paper trail. Had it in the dog's name. Huh?
The film's Beverly Hills setting also gives the brothers a convenient excuse to portray the absurdity of wealth via ridiculous hygiene regimens and the use of litigation as not just a recreational pastime, but a viable career path. Intolerable Cruelty received positive reviews from critics upon its release, but uninspiring box office receipts and indifferent audiences condemned the film to an extremely remote orbit around the Coen brothers' star. It is arguably their most impersonal, and thus generic, effort, and doesn't appear destined to claim the same kind of cult following that rallied around their previous work. That being said, Intolerable Cruelty has lots of love to give for those who would embrace its charms.
Thank you for listening to the Director Series. For a deeper dive into your favorite filmmakers, go to www.directorseries.net.
The Director Series is made possible in large part by our generous supporters on Patreon. Please visit us at patreon.com/directorseries to see how your contribution enables the continued production of video essays and text articles on your favorite contemporary and classic film directors. Thank you.